welcome, and thank you for joining us. And of course, once again, these are my opinions only, and we're not here to tell you what to buy, and sell. Crazy. We got to grow together. This is a crazy time, a crazy world. It's an upside-down world. It affects all of our hearts and our souls, and we just don't feel like things are right. And they're not. What's right is wrong, and wrong is right. And we're trying to, we now have new things that are like girls competing against boys, sort of. I don't know. Where the new NASDAQ wants to make sure that we have an appropriate number of queers on the board. I'm not joking. I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm not trying to be shocking. They literally said that. That they expect the companies that are listed on the New York Stock Exchange to not just check the female box, but the LGBTQ box as well. Because diversity, we all know, diversity makes us all better. How, I don't know, honestly. Do I think that different people and men and women think differently about? Of course they do. That's not the point. Not remotely the point. Is finding the best people and diversity by accident. And we all get that. It's a weird thing, right? It's like, how do I raise grandsons and sons in this environment? It's weird. Totally weird. I get it. But bottom line is that when we're talking about the economy, we're talking about the world, we're talking about opportunities out there, we're talking about investing, we also have this running against us. We have the best of times and the worst of times. And the best of times, we have such abundance. It's ludicrous. And maybe we're too lazy because of that. Maybe we don't think things through the way we should. But we have such abundance. We have such miracles that happen around us. I'm not sure that we appreciate it as much, right? Because we don't slow down enough to really go, wow. I mean, so we have a rover on Mars. Yeah, now it's pretty cool what they're doing. And I think if we thought of it like we did 20 or 30 years ago, we'd be like, wow, this is so cool. But yet, and then in all of this abundance too, we have this incredible attention span deficit. We can't possibly think about growing rich slowly over time. It just, that's not even possible. Are you talking, what do you mean 30, 40 years? I'm not kidding. Now I'm going to buy GameStop and I'm going to buy options on GameStop and I'm going to get turn $10,000 into hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's the mentality. And when we think of that, it pulls us away from the cup of coffee a day. For 40 years is 1.1 million. Not in the best stock in the world, not trading it, just owning the great corporations of the world represented by the S&P 500. All of them. Not one. All of them. And we pull away from that. So it's really hard for us to understand and get back to that long-term thinking instead of the short-term gambling. That feels like we're all going to be able to bet on the Knicks on your smartphone. If you're, I don't know if you can for sure. I know there's like, I don't know, a dozen states that already have sports betting that's legal. And I don't know if that applies on your phone. Honestly, I don't. I know I keep getting, my favorite casino is the Atlantis in Reno. I like going there, but I'm not a big sports bettor, but they're always pinging me to sign up for their sports betting app. And I'm wondering what that is. So I'm thinking we all can. Just like, boom, here's $10. Boom, here's $10 on GameStop. Oh, I'm going to double down. I'm going to go $20 on GameStop. And then we start thinking of investing in the wrong way. And we do. And as I said before, too, we are in this crazy place where since we watch so much TV, I don't watch that much TV. Yeah. And I can't pick up my phone if I don't. There's alarms going on all the time. you know, if it's a Bloomberg one, it's Trump is doing something again. Trump is breathing, and it's a nightmare. I think we need to impeach him again. I mean, it's always this weird stuff that's always out of the blue, but it's always like, boom, there's an alert. Oh, my gosh. And it's nothing. But it gets us wound again. It's, again, that all that data coming in like a fire hose. What do we do? So, as I mentioned, my wife is retiring soon. And so, from being a nurse for a zillion years, and I don't even think about it because I get this garbage all the time, you know. Come to the dinner seminar, the annuity pimps are showing up in town. Oh, it doesn't quite say that on the front, but it says, join us for dinner. And then it'll say something like, take back control of your retirement, or tax savings ideas in retirement. Do you really know how to sign up for Medicare? It's like a big secret. You couldn't ask Siri, Siri, how do you sign up for Medicare? You couldn't do that. We need to go to a seminar. But I'm sure it's really good, and they're going to tell us all about Medicare and Social Security. And we're going to do, because it's always a good buzzword, tax-efficient strategies. I don't know how to take money out of my IRA. Gosh, let's talk about an IRA withdrawal in this program. And retirement income, the big buzzword. Will I have enough? What do I do in a world that I'm terrified of, where the stocks go up and down? I can't get any money at the bank. Somebody save me and give me a free steak. So off we go to one of these. And it's interesting because my lady just turns around and says, these are all questions I have. I never had them before, but now I'm retiring. These are questions I have. If I didn't have you, I might go. Huh. Wow. So one of the benefits of Corona was these pimps couldn't come up and do their song and dance. They're back. They're back. And it's all under the guise of, if you have an insurance license, you can say anything. Disclosures are not mandatory. They won't work. They can't work. I'm not going to go into an annuity tirade today. I'm just saying, they're back. And as a reminder, last week, got a call from the son of an elderly client of ours. She's been a client of ours for 35 years. Not kidding. And they are at her nonstop to get out of the investments and put it all into a fixed annuity. Because everything, the world is coming to an end. And she's a scared old lady. And she trusts us. So son is calling to say, would you please talk to her? And what is this that they've just sent me? So we explained it all. And he said, yep, that's confirmed here in this, what it is. And once again, there's nothing we can do. I said, put in a complaint. They shouldn't be harassing her. No, they can call her. But harassing her? It's wrong. Put in a complaint. That's all you can do. So we did. But of course, they can't be shut down at all. Because everything is legal. It's legal to harass if you're an insurance agent. Now, I have an insurance license, and that was my first license I got. I have absolute respect for insurance agents that are doing the right thing. But constant seminars and telling people that they've got some kind of weird or great tax-efficient strategy in an annuity, it's an anti-tax-efficient strategy. It's a horrifying tax-efficient strategy. It doesn't work. It's the opposite. And they're super high cost. And I'm going to tell you that there's like, I'm going to say there's maybe 5% of the annuities out there are absolutely perfect. Perfect. But none of them are done at a seminar as the answer. None. 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 So here's what we're doing. I was just talking to Kevin about this at the break, you know. We're actually hiring a couple of new advisors. Why? Because the world needs help. And he's like, why are you doing that? Well, we're investing in the future. We have to. That or sell it and move on. There are so many people moving here. And it's a great opportunity. Can you imagine being a young person and not being able to talk to people face to face? How do you build a business like that? You don't. So these young people who are smart, smart, certified financial planners, got all the right licenses, got the heart big as the world that want to really help people, not rip them off in an annuity. They want to help them, but they need to be in a place where people go to get unbiased help. Because they can't do it in the middle of coronavirus. I mean, 9 out of 10 people fail at it anyway, building a book. And so now's the time. And so we found that. And we found, you know, young guy from Portland and one from Denver that couldn't wait to be in Boise, Idaho. So we're seeing this massive migration out of cities. And I think out of careers and into other careers, it's an incredible rotation out there that I really wasn't aware of. But we're gearing it up because we've got to. There's got to be places where people can go and get unbiased. We're going to get there. I got to tell you something. I've talked about this stuff for 20 years that's gotten out of hand. I just can't stop it. I can't get it stopped. I cannot believe we still do this. All the information. You have free stock trading now and regulations that are through the roof in the brokerage business, but not in insurance. It's insane. It's insane. Don't go to any free dinner. The lawyers are next. They'll be back selling you on a living trust. Look in your mailbox next week. There'll probably be one there. It's not just annuity sales. It's trusts too. Got to be careful out there. Got to. All right. As I said in the first hour, we are up on, everything is just on fire, right? And we need to kind of keep our eyes focused on that because if we can worry about inflation, we can worry about interest rates going higher, and we should. This is the wrong thing at the wrong time. It's absolutely dead wrong. They should be doing nothing except reopening the economy.
I know. We got to do it safely. Sorry, I missed the word safely.
No, what I want everybody to do is run naked with scissors. That's what I want. Okay? It's just crazy to me how we can't speak openly about 77% reduction in coronavirus cases. Period. It's not because everybody was really good about their masks for this last month. And before that, they weren't really good. We got to look at it and be honest about it. Let's get this thing opened up. And my next door neighbor is a coronavirus victim. And she doesn't have coronavirus. She's in her 90s and can't go play bridge anymore. And they've wheeled her off to the nursing home now to die. She has no community all by herself. She was able to get into her car pre-corona, drive 200 yards to Hillcrest to play golf. To play bridge with her friends. Now she's shut down. Just another coronavirus victim that didn't get coronavirus, just like all the kids and so on. We don't talk about this stuff. We got to get open and the economy will boom. We don't need $2 trillion. We should worry about it. We should fight against it. Here's the deal. We are growing like crazy. The economy is ready to explode. Get your chin off the floor and look at the world. It's abundant like crazy. The opportunities are amazing out there. absolutely stunning. Don't try to get rich quick. Get rich slowly. It's so easy in America. You don't even have to own a business to do it. We don't need to try to game everything. Own stocks. Don't trade them. Own great companies. That's how you get 10 baggers and 20 baggers. It's how you watch Apple go up 20-fold since they invented the iPhone. You owned it. You didn't trade it. You owned it. We've got to stop and look. Dial back the anger, the frustration. Fight the good fight, but don't let it impact your investments. This is an amazing time. It's the best time humans have ever been on the planet. Yes, D.C. is a swamp of ticks. Yes, it borders on evil. It does. These are not nice people. They are spending our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids' futures away for nothing more than power. Fight them, but recognize that this is an amazing and abundant world, full of amazing opportunities. Dial back the noise and just watch your joy increase. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I got to take a quick break. Jim will grab you on the other side. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. Thanks again for joining us. It's 580-KIDO. And let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear us? We
Hello?
Hear you.
Hello?
I don't know why you can't hear us. We can hear you.
I cannot hear you.
All right. Call
can
back. Call back again, and we'll try you again. All right. Thanks.
I can hear myself.
And we can hear you. All right. Call's back, Jim. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Isn't that wonderful, really? I mean, just to have that, right, I know, sometimes it seems like it's frustrating or what when something breaks and all that, and it is when we go dead air. That is really frustrating. But it's more fun to not know exactly what's going to happen, you know, right? All right, so let's, we got a couple of different phone lines. Give her a chance, okay? Hang on there. Let it keep ringing. She'll be right with you. So... All right. As soon as we get it, we'll go. All right. Let's go with Jill. Jill, is that you? Jill? Somebody, whoever is on, say hi.
Hello?
There you are. Are you Jill?
Hello?
It must be our end of the phones. Okay, great. All right. Thank you, Jill. Hang on.
Hi.
I'm going to put you on hold, okay? Can you hear me or not?
I don't know who I'm talking to, but yes, I can.
This is Dave. Okay, good. You got Dave. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Good
How are
morning.
You?
I'm good. Better.
Good. Hey, listen, when I turned my radio on, you were giving definitions for clarity, agility, and tranquility.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was so great, but I didn't catch what you said about tranquility.
Tranquility is the elimination of spiritual clutter.
Spiritual. Okay. Because I wrote them all down. I love what you said.
Oh.
I think it's perfect.
I do, too. That's why I wrote it down. I also wrote it in my own little, I have kind of a, I don't want to call it a journal because a journal would then be, I think, it's just my book of quotes. So
I have one, too, so it's
yeah.
going in there. Thank
Good.
You so much. Appreciate
You're so
it.
Welcome. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And our number is 580-KIDO. Back to Jim. Jim, are you there?
I'm here now. Are you here?
Uh-huh. Yes.
I just wanted to tell you a real quick kind of a funny story. You mentioned SUV or whatever the hell it is on Mars.
Yeah.
As if we needed to drive around on Mars. Anyway, you know how much I love technology. Well, a while back, I was going to this band concert with a guy. He was in the band I was in. He played baritone. I played clarinet. He was driving me. And I had never really talked to this guy. He had retired, and the business he had been in apparently had something to do with tech. And the only thing I knew that he would record sometimes band concerts. Anyway, so he's talking to me, and we're talking about technology. And he says something like, Do you realize that they have come out with a chip that can now do 1 billion calculations per second? And the old chip could only do 1 million, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he said something fantastic like that. And my response was, so, I mean, to me, the invention of peanut butter was more important. But anyway, I say so. And I thought this guy was going to have a coronary. I thought, man, I had said, you know, I mean, it was really amazing.
Well, it was sacrilegious what you said, because it is amazing. It is.
Well, yeah, to a lot, you know.
To the development of future.
I'll go back to a slide rule.
I get it. I know what you're saying. Look.
But okay, one more thing, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
The word safe. Everything today is safe.
Right.
I've heard these commercials about, like, taking a trip, you know, with a travel agency.
Yeah.
As soon as it's safe. How do we define safe? You know, everything in life, if all life were safe, would life be worth living?
Fair point. You know, it is, I don't know. That's an interesting philosophical question, because we don't really know what life would be like if everything was safe, because we all know we're going to die sometime. We're going to die of something. We just don't know what it's going
to
be.
Well, anything we do, you know, it requires, you know, to get in a car requires a risk.
Well, what's interesting, too, is we don't define risk very well. I mean, in our own lives, people act irrationally. I watched people drive all the way across the country because they were afraid to get on an airplane because they were going to get coronavirus. But statistics show that people don't get it on an airplane. You're more likely to get it walking down a sidewalk by yourself. It's just incredible what has happened to the news on this and in people's minds. It's also, you know, people's famous people. I can't remember the football guy that drove everywhere for football games he announced, right?
Yeah, that
John
was Dave Madden.
John Madden was his name.
John Madden.
Irrational. He won't get on an airplane because he was afraid to. So he's going to drive a boat down the freeway like that's safe. It's insane.
I think he took the train everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I think he also had his RV, if I remember right. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The point being is that it was clearly very much more dangerous, but to him it wasn't. I used to work with a lady in our office. She's retired for a while now. She was the same way. She would drive all the way to Chicago for a meeting instead of actually getting on an airplane. Now, you could claim I love road trips, and personally I do, but I'm not going to drive all the way across the country just for a meeting. But she was afraid to fly. That's irrational. And so we all find our fears to be in weird places. Like driving is very, very dangerous. We should outlaw. It's much more dangerous. More people die every year. And more people die of the flu than they do coronavirus in most age groups. Not true for people over age 85 or age 75. But where 1% of our population, less than 1% of our population, accounts for over 30% of all the deaths, 35%. And but we can't have these discussions because otherwise I'm practicing as an epidemiologist rather than just reading numbers. And all these things, though, come together to say this. We are all going to be busting out of this because it is not an arguable fact anymore that the case load is down 77% because a bunch of people have already had it. And a bunch of people are getting antibodies put in their arm called vaccines. Whether you want to do it, don't want to do it, don't care. As long as somewhere around 70% of the people get it, I don't know. Fauci doesn't know. Fauci changes his mind every day. So we wind up in a circumstance where, let's call it 70 or 80% of the population, we have herd immunity. We're getting there fast, and it's clear we're going to. So that's the reason why you should absolutely be super optimistic going forward and why all of this data matters. It matters a lot. And we should be reopening the economy. People are dying because they're killing themselves because they don't have their real life. And if you're a teenager trying to grow up in a world where you can't socialize with people other than Zooming them, FaceTiming them, and you're supposed to be a 12-year-old boy sitting in a seat looking at a TV for 8 hours a day, you're going to learn well. That's going to work great. I know, because boys are really easy to teach off of a tube. It doesn't work, and we're killing them, and we need to move forward, and I wish we would. And these are the things that are going to happen, in my mind, at lightning speed, and why also I continue to be very optimistic. And safety is one of those things that is a buzzword. And I guarantee you that little flyer that I have in my hand has written safety, all this safe income, safe, blah, 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 safe money, safest money, super, super duper safe. You know, it's just insane how much we use this buzzword. And you're right. It's a very fair point. Life isn't safe, but we wrap our minds around it.
Well, you know, I've never planned my life. I've never thought about a career or whatever, you know. To me, life is an experience, new things, unexpected surprises. It's like opening a Christmas present, you know. It's the anticipation of it more than the actual opening.
Right.
And so that, to me, makes life interesting.
It's the journey, not the arrival. Absolutely.
Right.
All right,
anyway,
I got to roll, Jim. Take care. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Fox News next. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome. 580-KIDO. If you would like to join us, we'd love to have you. Come on in. The water's fine. Let's go to Bob. Bob, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Dave, I have a money question for you.
I love it.
Okay.
That's what we're here for.
What? Can you make some comments about the word dividend yield?
Yeah.
Questions about it. Why does a company offer it? Is it important? How do they figure that out? Is there such a thing as a good dividend, a bad dividend? When we should start in our life looking at a company or a fund that is more concerned about a dividend. So can you talk a little about the dividend and what that means to the investor and what we should look at with it when we hear that word dividend,
yeah.
Dividend yield?
Yeah, good, good, great. That's a pile of questions. You keep track and just check the boxes you ask as we go, because I'm going to miss a couple, okay? So I'm going to back all the way up, yeah. And then I'm going to circle back on it, okay? How important are dividends? I want to not just plug our YouTube of Dow 30,000, but you should watch that, because that's the last 40 years, which is basically my investment lifetime. And guess what? For most people listening, their adult lifetime or their lifetime, right? It is a really interesting walk through those times. But in there, there's in particular why I'm bringing this up. Is a chart that shows how the Dow has performed from 800 to 30,000. Okay? That's a big jump. That does not include dividends. That's why in there you'll see what that compounded little bit more, like call it 3% over the years, reinvested, makes that number more than double, more like triple, I think, if I remember right. So it's a huge difference. And why it's important, because we're also in that chart, we compared to inflation. I think gold was in there. And gold pays nothing, right? So if you have nothing and it grows, it's actually done worse than inflation since that time, because it also was at 800 when I started. So dividends matter. Return matters. And you may think only 3% doesn't matter that much, but it sure does, but especially because stocks have a tendency of growing them. So let's back up to that and say it's super important, and everybody should see that anyway to gain perspective in a world that is so short-term in nature of what the last 40 years has been for the abundance of everyone. Now, swinging to that and saying the compounding of dividends over time, this goes back, and I'm going to relate really quick, the income story that's never told, and that is the dividends of the S&P 500 for the last 60 years have gone up at 3 times the rate of inflation, 9% a year. So you start off getting, let's call it 3%. Before long, you're getting 9, 10, and if you live long enough, you're getting 80, 100%. We see that all the time. So that's how important that is. Are there good dividends and bad dividends? Absolutely there are. The great dividends are companies like Apple that raise them crazily every year, and they're making so much money. And there's this thing called the payout ratio, and it's kind of fuzzy, but it's a very good number to just kind of keep in mind. You want to make sure a company, let's say they make $1 billion, and what if they're paying out 800 million of it? That doesn't leave them much to reinvest in the business, does it? And that would make their payout ratio 80%. Not good. You want to make sure it's really on the bottom, less than 50%, unless it's a utility, or a REIT, which has to pay out all its money. There are exceptions, but you do have to recognize that there those companies are paying too much. There's no margin of safety there, right? There's not. So don't chase high dividends. Look for growing dividends. That's the good dividends and the bad ones. Because if you cut dividends, the stock price is going to collapse. And we've seen that from companies as great as One Decision Companies years ago of IBM. You just own it, collect the dividends, and then whoop, they cut their dividend. Big problem. So especially if you're living on that for your income. Now, so dividends are a very, very important part. It really adds to the compounding nature of it because you can also use those to reinvest, particularly when prices are low. And that gives you an amazing compounding. We've got lots of charts on that on some of the funds we use when the market, we get this interruption, which occurs at least every 10 years, right? An interruption that even affects high income stocks. And so those are the kind of things in the dividends. What else have I missed?
Haven't we over this past year since the virus, haven't we have companies that have cut their dividend or stopped, mm-hmm. or those companies were in trouble anyway?
Some of them are, but some of them out of a preponderance of caution, but it's a great point. You do have to be careful. That's why you have to have a diversified. You can't just say, I want to buy IBM because it's a great one, and then find out they cut their dividend. Or something happens in the world like a pandemic, right? Or a financial crisis. So the financial crisis, all the banks had to stop paying dividends. They were required to, right? They had to stop. And so that made, for that year, even though I said the S&P 500 has raised their dividends by three times the rate of inflation over the last 60 years. That is true. But there was three different times when those dividends did not go up. They stayed the same or went down slightly. And one was 2008, and one was the pandemic. And that's because companies, whether it's an industrial company, we don't know what's going on, but no orders are coming in right now, right? So yeah. You wind up with that. You go, wait a minute, this is crazy. I've got to... stop just as a preponderance of caution. Didn't turn out to be a big deal. So most all those companies have fired them back up. We've got the financials now in this crisis. They've been raising their dividends, while at the same time the industrial companies and I'm going to say cruise lines as an obvious one. So, but collectively cruise lines, even though they weren't big dividends, they are paying none, and they obviously won't be for a while. Boeing had to cut theirs for obvious reasons. All the airlines cut theirs for obvious reasons. Will they be up and going in a year or two? Yes, but that's why you want to diversify. But collectively, the overall dividend level went down. It was pretty small, but I'm going to guess 5-10% from 2019. 2020 was a little bit of a down year. That's the third time, in my knowledge, I'm pretty knowledgeable on that. In the last 60 years, we run the numbers all the time.
So then what does it mean with a mutual fund that has a dividend yield? And how important is it if a fund with their yield, if it says it's a dividend appreciation or a dividend growth fund? What's the significance of those numbers?
Yeah, it's a huge difference. You can have a high income fund, and I'm not saying they're inappropriate, okay? You have different needs. We use a high income vehicle combined with lower income or even no income, so we have a income generation for our income portfolios overall, right? Does that make sense? We have on one end no or low dividends, and the other we have high, so we can combine them and get the kind of income that people need when you're building it. But we also want to build it for growth of income, and those are going to be the low income yielders. They're not going to be high income yielders. And so that combination gives you growth for the future to stay ahead of inflation. While if you go with all high income, you're not going to have the growth you want down the road. So it depends on what you're trying to do. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but from a safety perspective, no question that you want to go with the low and the low payout ratio ones, growth of income is much safer. Now, stocks tend to be more growth-oriented, and they might bounce around more. But if you're going to tell me that a company is highly profitable, let's use Apple as an example, the extreme example. Apple is highly profitable. I think everybody knows that. Their cash flow is off the charts because their margins are so high. So they make gobs of money, like every day. And so they pay a little tiny bit out Do I think that dividend is safe? Yeah. I think I can very much bank on Apple paying its dividend. Can I, on the other hand, for a company that has a tremendous amount of debt, let's say, and then oil prices go down, can I count on a company not declining their dividend or reducing it or eliminating it in the oil industry? And the answer is no, because they're not earning their dividend. You can't borrow your way to prosperity, and you can't borrow and then pay it out the door in the form of a dividend and pretend things are okay. So you have a high income until they cut it, or you have a low one that's going up every year. That's safer in my mind, even if it has a little bit more price volatility. It certainly doesn't have ultimately more price volatility, because if you do cut your dividend, your price is going down. The stock price goes way down. So that's kind of extreme examples of that, but the answer is use both. And but it also mostly depends on what you're trying to do. I would use growth of income, low dividend, reinvest that dividend if you're not retired or want the income yet. And then you need to look at other combinations to produce income. But I love having dividend-paying stocks that are 3% and growing their dividends in portfolios, along with 1%ers, a Microsoft and Apple, that are less than that. But they're growing them so rapidly. And have both, because now you've got the now and you got the future, and they combine to, in a zero-interest rate world, that's where I'm going to get income. I'm not going to get it from bonds, for sure.
And so then if you see a mutual fund that says has a 4 or 5% dividend yield, you got to be careful, because they may just be chasing a yield, or there's some risky things they have in there.
Correct. Or they just have high income. They're not going to have any growth. Again, so no margin of safety. And so you're right. There's going to be risk in there. You have to identify it. You know, there's nothing wrong. We use one all the time. It's our largest holding of any holding, right? Because it's a mutual fund, so we have a high percentage in there, and it yields 5. Okay? But we have, it's been around since the 1940s. I know that fund. I know what they do, and it's so diversified. Yes, once in a while, they step on a landmine. Doesn't matter, because it's, 0.1% of the portfolio. Doesn't matter. Okay? So you have to have that kind of confidence. Yeah. Got to know what the risk is. So, okay?
Can I ask one more question?
Very quickly.
Okay. What do you think of the information put out by Larry Kudlow? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff coming at us. I know you're a fiscal conservative. What do you think of the things that he says?
By and large, very good. I do. I think he tries to educate listeners, readers, what have you, on what's really going on. And, I'll tell you honestly that Brian Westbury with First Trust is far and away the best economist that I know of in the world. He's been only dead right for 10 years. I mean, dead right. I don't know of anybody who's been even close. And I don't mean he knows exactly where the S&P is going to finish the year, but he's been bullish all the way through when others were, looking for softer times. So I'm not dismissing Kudlow. I think he is a good thinker, and he does a good job of disseminating information to people and trying to help them understand. And that, I think, is very important. I really do. Because you just, instead of just giving people bullet points, talking points, he's teaching them. Okay?
Yeah, it can be difficult to find people that really make sense.
It is. It's very difficult. Or people that are actually not biased. They actually are just trying to give information. Right?
Yeah.
Reading data.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bob.
Yep.
Our number is 580-KIDO. We got to take our final break. And when we come back, Terry, you're up to bat. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-KIDO, it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. If you want to catch any of the podcasts, those are at PetsoFinancial.com, also the Apple Store, and now YouTube for some of these things. Oh, by the way, we should have that up soon, the 10 Investment Commandments, okay? And Megan, those are mine. Don't have to take them or leave them, but they're for me. Terry, thanks for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Oh, good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
I don't need to know anything about economists. I just need to have Erica handy.
There you go. Exactly.
There's so many things floating around out there in so little time, but if you would put out a primer one of these days on weak dollar versus strong dollar and what the effects are. I watched it, Idiot Schumer, or pardon me, that the this in the Senate, Mr. Schumer, stand up and say, we don't need to figure out how to pay for this. We have modern monetary theory.
Wow.
Made it official. And yep. And it just, it's been too long since I've had Econ 101 and strong dollar, weak dollar, the repercussions of spending money like this.
Yeah, I let's go ahead and put it in short. If modern, there's nothing modern about modern monetary theory. Okay?
Oh yeah, Keynesian. I mean,
yeah, no, I'm just saying it's not. Everybody loves to say things like that, but they've been around for decades. Whether it, you want to go all the way back to trying to do it in Germany post World War One. Venezuela comes to mind as another genius idea. Brazil, part one and two. Argentina, part one and two. They're on the third part now. Of just print, go into debt, what could go wrong? And if you want even another example of that is Japan, which can't grow its way out with zero interest rates and printing money and build, and digging holes. In order to employ people in their country, they basically build roads and tear them up and build them again. And it doesn't work. It's not growing the economy. It's certainly not growing the average person's standard of living. And so the idea that this is modern is a joke, that you cannot deficit spend your way out and weaken your currency because you can't control it. And that's why, as I opened this program, I was talking about Powell's concerning remarks.
Mm-hmm.
That we got this. We've got this. Or listening to Bernanke talk on the Zoom call that he wasn't worried about inflation and kind of laughed it off like it was the same as 2008 when, as I pointed out, we weren't dealing with 26% M2 money supply growth. And he's aware of that.
Inflation now is something I remember too, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not out of control, and nobody's, you know, ringing the bell. I mean, those are the gold pimps that just got it. Ah, buy gold, blah, 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 you know, that I've heard for 40 years. The world's coming to an end, buy gold. And, you know, and scaring people, because everything's about scaring people. And that's politics, it's everything else. It's the hyperbole of everything, right?
Right.
But the bottom line is this is not, there's nothing modern about it. It's a bad idea. And weak is not good. Strong is good. And that's why we are the currency of the world. And I'm running out of time. So, Terry, have a great weekend.
All right. Same to
Thank you,
sir.
Great question, by the way. Have a good
All
day.
Right.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.